Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Proverbs 30, verse 8. I am Rob West. It seems like every generation has struggled to learn contentment, and ours is certainly no different. But God's Word has some great instruction for us on this tough topic. Brian Holtz helps us to work through it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest is Brian Holtz, CEO of Compass Financial Ministry and author of Financial Discipleship for Families. Brian, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Brian, contentment is one of those elusive topics for many reasons, but I like the idea that we have to learn how to be content. Wouldn't you agree that it's a challenging topic?
Yeah, it certainly is a tough one, Rob, but it's also one of my favorites, and it's actually going to be the focus of Compass's upcoming Your Money Counts conference next month.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, we certainly won't get as deep today as you will in February, but let's start with the basics. What do we mean when we say content?
Yeah, in Philippians 4:12, the Apostle Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So I believe Paul is describing contentment as a state of being satisfied with enough rather than desiring more or even desiring less.
I think that's well said, and it seems simple enough on the surface, but as you and I both know, it's not that simple. So unpack it a bit more for us.
Yeah, like most heart issues, it really isn't as simple as it sounds. You know, I was confronted by this a few months ago when a speaker at a conference asked a couple of simple but very revealing questions. First, he simply asked us all to raise our hands if we felt like we had enough, not of anything in particular, just in general. And as you'd expect from a group of faithful Christians, almost everyone raised their hands, recognizing that God had been abundantly generous. But then he asked the second question. He said, "Who would like more?" And I had to raise my hand. It cut straight to the heart. I know that I have enough. I know God has been generous and has given me exactly what I need, but I still want more. It immediately reminded me of the verse you opened with, Rob, Proverbs 30, verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. And the truth is, I struggle to pray that prayer because I want more than what I need for today. I'll always like an advance on tomorrow's portion as well.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I suspect our listeners are resonating with that idea. It's pretty common. So what can we take away from the Apostle Paul, and what can we do to learn to be more content?
I think the answer isn't explicitly stated, but I think it's in there in Paul's guidance throughout Philippians 4. As he describes his own journey of contentment, we see that Paul is clearly focused on what he does have rather than what he doesn't have. Yeah. In all situations, he remains focused on the good and sufficient, whether it comes in the form of a lack or an abundance. And I think this is the key to learning to be content. Although many of us have less urgent needs than the Apostle Paul did, he was worried about clothing, food, and water, we experience the same heart struggles. And I think we can benefit from that same solution. We need to focus on what God has given us rather than what he hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I need to focus on the car that I do have, which is just fine, rather than the car I don't have but I might want. Yeah. I need to focus on the job I do have, working for a great ministry, rather than the job I don't have, which would certainly have its own advantages. In all, I need to focus on the millions of things God has provided in my life, rather than all the things God hasn't provided, and for probably very good reason. And just as you'd imagine, Rob, when I do that, I find myself feeling like Paul did here. I find myself learning to be content, learning to be satisfied with enough, truly enjoying that sweet spot between poverty and wealth, where it really seems like God created us to flourish spiritually.
That's so well said. And I think, of course, we would all benefit from learning the type of contentment that you just described and that the Apostle Paul had. Now, you mentioned that this topic is the focus of Compass's upcoming conference. We have just 30 seconds. Give us a quick snapshot.
Like I said, this is a big topic, and we certainly didn't cover it all in 5 minutes. And so it's an area we all struggle in, and it's an area that's essential to being a faithful steward. So it's going to be the main topic of our conference in Orlando, February 27th through March 1st, where we dig deep into Scripture to learn how to be content in a discontent world.
Excellent. Well, folks, if you want to learn more about that conference, just go to compassfinancialministry.org. That's compassfinancialministry.org. Brian, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Brian Holt, CEO of Compass Financial Ministry. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Some studies claim 88% of New Year's resolutions are broken by the end of January. We're at the halfway point. So, how are you doing? Have some resolutions fallen by the wayside? Not all of them are equally important, but there is one that no Christian can afford to leave behind: spending time in God's Word. The Lord cared so much about that that He reminded His people in Joshua 1:8, saying, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night." And why should we meditate on God's Word like that? It's because it has the power to convict, comfort, build up, and transform. So don't delay. Spend time in God's Word. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Today's issues.
At the bottom of the hour, Jenna Ellis will be with us, host of the Jenna Ellis in the Morning program. And then Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, will be with us at 10:45. So I'm just saying, if Tim and Ed
don't cut it,
that we've invited guests on this hour so that you can listen to them.
That's right.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's almost time to begin taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. So this is a great time right now to call. We've got lines open. If you want to ask a question today, something going on in your financial life, this is the opportunity to do it. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Any financial topic in play today, from credit scores to investing, even aligning your values with your investments. What does that look like? Maybe it's paying down debt or giving generously, whatever's on your mind today. The number to call again, 800-525-7000. In the news today, it comes as no surprise, but many of the best job opportunities in 2025 will be in the health sector. That's according to a new ranking by Indeed, the job search portal. In the top 25 jobs based on salary, six are in the health field, including veterinarian, physician, clinical psychologist, radiologist, registered nurse, and director of clinical services. Analysts say these professionals are in extremely high demand and command large salaries, as you might expect. That demand is expected to grow disproportionately higher than other job sectors in the years ahead.
Of course, health professionals are in such high demand due to what analysts call barriers to entry. You have to have advanced medical degrees to qualify them for them, and they take a lot of time, effort, and money to acquire. But if you're thinking about entering the job force and perhaps considering, as you're maybe a high school senior or one is in your life, or maybe you're looking to make a transition to a new career, this might be something to think about as you consider not only what is a great job opportunity today, but what will be into the future, assuming that aligns with your passions and skill set that the Lord has gifted you with. All right, let's turn to your calls and questions. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now, and we'd love to chat with you today. We're going to begin in Virginia with Dan. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is that I have I'm 73 years old. I'm self-employed, have for 40 years. And 5 years ago, we moved out of our house and left the house that we own completely for my daughter and her kids because of the fact that she had thyroid cancer. Thyroid was removed. And as a result, we were hoping that she could help us somehow or another, but it seems like she has just absolutely no energy. So the house should be generating probably up to $3,000 a month in rent if I would have done it, but I'm not getting a nickel out of it. So it's costing me quite a bit of money. And I was just wondering if there's any way I can have some type of deduction, tax deferment or deduction with this situation on this house.
It's a great question, and I'm grateful that in her situation, you're able to provide that assistance. But I realize that can be a drain, absolutely. And so any help along the way would go a long way to helping you to continue to be able to do this. You do need to check with a tax professional. And so I would connect with a CPA if you'd normally do your own taxes. Maybe this is the year to just get some advice or perhaps even have somebody do this for you. If you're providing, just generally speaking here for a second, substantial support for an adult child who's not living with you, there are potential tax benefits available. You could claim them as a dependent under the qualifying relative category. And so, they have to be your child, which clearly they are. The child has to have earned less than, $4,700, and that changes yearly. And then you have to provide more than 50% support. And unlike a qualifying child, a qualifying relative does not have to live with you, and then they can't be dependent anywhere else. So that would be, one option. You could also look at other potential tax breaks as well. And I think that's where exploring this with a tax professional would probably, go a long way in helping you explore everything that could be available to you.
Okay. I will pursue those that avenue and see what we can get, the outcome of that.
Yeah.
I do have a CPA that does take care of my professional, my business books every year.
Okay.
And he knows my situation, and he hasn't offered any type of ideas or anything like that.
Okay. It's going to be limited, but it's at least worth exploring. And I'd talk to him about whether or not, there is an opportunity with the qualifying relative category. But keep up the good work, Dan. And I realize this is a season with expenses up across the board, not the least of which, is the support you're providing can be a real challenge. But I know it makes the Lord smile when we help those that we care about and who are going through a difficult season. Call back anytime if we can assist further. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your financial questions today. To New Hampshire, Rebecca, go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question about credit scores and how they're determined. A few years ago, I got divorced, and we had to sell the house, and 6 months later, I had no credit. But thankfully, I always paid my bills on time, and I kept my good records, so a kind bank helped me buy a house or condo. So I have I do have that towards my credit, and I always pay on time. And I pay all my bills on time, but I have found over the last several months that my credit score, which I see on my bank statements, is gradually going down. It was like at 780. It's down to like 720. And I was trying to figure out why. And the only thing that I've been able to ascertain, because there's no complaints or anything on my credit report, is that I don't have enough credit, which is doesn't seem right to me, because having a mortgage, especially since my mortgage and my HOA is half my income, should be enough.
Yes. Well, there's a couple of things going on here. It's not likely due, at least the primary reason, to you not having enough credit. You know, that would have prevented you from getting a mortgage in the first place. It could be any number of things. If you've had any closed, long-standing credit accounts, that can have an impact on your score because it reduces your credit history, which is one of the pieces of this. It also could have to do with your credit mix. So the credit scoring algorithm benefits those who have different types of credit, all in good standing. So if you have revolving accounts like a credit card alongside an installment account like a car loan alongside a mortgage, I mean, these different types of credit, at least based on the algorithm, would indicate to the lender that you can manage various types of credit for various purposes and, you know, be an on-time payer. And so that credit mix benefits you as well. If you've applied for credit recently, perhaps even in a shorter, you know, period of time in the recent past, those hard inquiries where you authorized a lender to check your credit could also be affecting your score. Usually the primary issue related to credit would be you know, what's called credit utilization, where you're carrying balances, whether you charge them up and then pay them off at the end of the cycle, or you're carrying them month to month and paying interest. If those balances go above 30% of the limit, either per individual account or in the aggregate, that's going to pull down your score. So I think your next step is to pull all three credit reports at annualcreditreport.com just to make sure there's not anything there that's erroneous or inaccurate. But, you know, I think if you can prioritize keeping those balances low, being an on-time payer, that's the very best opportunity for you. Hope that helps. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The presidential election in November was nothing short of historical. Americans went to the polls and let their voices be heard, overwhelmingly electing Donald Trump as our 47th president. You can hear his inauguration on AFR beginning at 11 a.m. Central, January 20th. So if you're not able to watch, you don't have to miss out. And make sure you tell your friends and family so they don't miss the live feed of Donald Trump's inauguration ceremony, January 20th, starting at 11 a.m. Central on AFR.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. That number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with your financial questions. Let's go to Texas. Che, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking the call. I'm having a dilemma in making decision. This is my situation. I am 67, and my fiance is 74. We recently got engaged, and this is our second marriage. He has been in ministry for over four decades, and he has a very minimum of retirement savings. On the other hand, I have somewhat of what I consider significant and over a million of all of my assets as a retired nurse. My question is, he has two grown-up daughters and two grandkids. My part also have two daughters and five grandkids. I will be drawing out will and trust for how my asset will be distributed. And as of now, all of my finance accounts, their names are on, including one of the ministry that I will be donating some. Someone has told me that I should consider drawing out a prenupture. That is in the event of his daughters are not Christian. They have a different view, and so there's just some conflict in that family. So in order to avoid unforeseeable complication after my husband and my fiance would die. So, and at the same time, he's not really, he's reluctant about that option. He's saying, I have made clearly stated how whatever he has will be distributed. And so why is it necessary spending over $1,000 for drawing prenupture? In a way, I'm kind of grieved. So my question to you, Rob, is that all the names of beneficiaries are in my financial statements. Is it really necessary for me to draw a prenupture?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, here, I appreciate that background, Chang. Congratulations on your upcoming marriage. That's very exciting. And I appreciate you all thinking through this and talking through it ahead of time. And that's really key. We want really open and honest communication. A prenuptial agreement, or a prenup, as it's sometimes referred to, is, of course, a contract that couples agree upon before marriage. It outlines how their assets, money and property and other possessions will be divided if they divorce. Who gets the house? Who gets the car? How will finances be split? And, you know, a lot of people argue that that makes practical sense. But I think as a Christian, we have to really think deeply about this, because God's design is that in marriage, two become one. Genesis 2:24 is clear. A man leaves his father and his mother, and he's united to his wife. They become one flesh. So God views marriage as a covenant relationship. And Paul talks about that and compares the nature of the marriage to the covenantal relationship between Christ and his church. So God's design for marriage is meant to be a picture of his love for people. And that's a relationship built on love and sacrifice and mutual respect. And so I think, my general approach to this is, say, as believers, we should not have a prenuptial agreement, because it really can foster distrust in the relationship. It suggests someone feels the need to protect their assets, which can imply a lack of trust. There's doubt cast about the marriage longevity. You know, it can reflect concerns that the marriage might not last, or maybe one partner isn't fully committed. So, you know, I think there's good reason to pass on this as Christ followers. However, I will say that doesn't mean there's not ever a place for it. And this is really one of those cases where I think it's at least worth considering. If one or both spouses have children from a previous marriage with inheritances at stake, I think a prenup can communicate to the children that you're pursuing marriage for the right reasons and that you seek their highest good when it comes to doing what's best for them. Those assets, of course, were amassed. It all belongs to God, but He allowed you to amass that wealth, whatever each of you have, prior to the marriage. And so I think from the marriage forward, clearly to become one. But I think, you know, considering how we might want to handle assets that we accumulated prior to marriage when children are involved, I think that's where it can make some sense. Now, what you need to do is talk to an estate attorney, because you're right. Anything that involves a beneficiary designation is going to pass outside of your will or even a trust and go directly outside of probate to the beneficiaries, which in this case, you know, in either one of you could name children to be the direct beneficiaries of those accounts. You just want to make sure you might want to understand, you know, what are the consequences of being able to provide for the other spouse, you know, in terms of making sure that each of your respective needs are met, because one of you will likely pass away before the other. And so if your desire is to make sure all the assets are available for both of you during both of your lives, and then go to each of your children respectively, based on, again, a lot of prayer and conversation ahead of time, that's where, you know, we may want to either have a prenuptial agreement in place or a trust or some other planning tools just to ensure that your wishes are honored as you all make these decisions. And so I think that's where spending a little bit of time to talk to an attorney who shares your values as a Christ follower, who can help you put this plan together, review the steps you've taken, and either say, yep, you're covered, or no, I think we need to do some other things. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. And all right, I did talk to a state lawyer as well regards to this, and basically, he's a Christian lawyer, and also he's suggesting that it will be prudent thing for me to consider, because I do have a significant asset in. But anyway, and then one of the he point out was that in the event of that, that my huge husband will be institutionalized with a medical related problem, does not have a long term care, whereas I have long term care.
Okay, let's do this. I've got to hit a break here. I want to pick this up on the other side, because I want to make sure that we get all your questions answered. So, Chet, stay right there. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow Him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish His purposes, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We want to be theologically sound. We want to be wise and expert in the advice that we're giving you. We want to be empathetic and understand this is a journey, and we've all made mistakes and will continue to as sinners saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. But when we handle our money, we want to put everything at the foot of the cross and seek God's wisdom and say, Lord, my goal, my aim is to be that faithful steward, long obedience in the same direction. We're not always going to get it right. We're going to go through difficult times. We may even go through seasons of abundance where we have far more than we need. The key is to find God's heart in any and all of those situations. I appreciated Chase's question. You know, she and her husband want to honor the Lord, understanding they're bringing different levels of assets. She's bringing significant wealth to the table for a second marriage. He is not. You know, they want to make decisions together, but they also want to kind of honor how the Lord is leading them. And I think that's something that needs to be dealt with much open communication, much conversation, certainly a lot of prayer, and then ultimately, you know, some legal planning that puts all of this in motion. You know, ultimately, here's what I would say. Marriage is a covenant that reflects Christ's relationship with the church, which is built on trust, sacrifice, unity. And while there may be legitimate reasons to use a prenup in very limited cases, I would say, and this might be one of them, I would say it should never replace the trust and commitment that are foundational to the Christian marriage. So both spouses need to prayerfully consider their motivations and I think really seek to align their relationship with God's design for unity and oneness in every area of life. I think that process clearly needs to involve open conversations about finances and trust, ensuring that any agreement serves the marriage rather than undermining it. But this is something not to approach lightly, that's for sure. All right, let's head back to the phones here today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Anna. How can I help you?
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir. So I have $10,000 in a savings account with my local bank, and it's earning like 10 cents in interest a month. And I've never invested before, so I'm really kind of interested in putting that money somewhere else where it's going to create some extra availability of money.
Yeah, yeah, very good.
Any suggestions?
I do. I'd be happy to. So I think there's two roads you could go. One would be where you're just looking to maximize the return. And, you know, interest rates are still very attractive right now. I mean, I'm looking at high-yield savings accounts right now with, you know, 4.5 and 5-star out of 5 rated banks, you know, with no fees and maybe a minimum deposit of anywhere from $100 to $5,000, where you can get 4.75% right now, 4.6%, 4.5. So, you know, I think the idea that you could get 4.5% on your money is very realistic in high yield savings, and that would throw off $450 a year, which is, you know, not an enormous amount of money, but it's better than a few 10 cents a month. So $1.20 over the year. I'd rather have 450 for sure. So you're probably going to need to go with an online bank. Now, I don't have any problem with online banks personally. I mean, they have the same FDIC insurance. They have the same, you know, regulatory environment. They have the same reserve standards. I think the difference with an online bank is only that you don't have the brick and mortar operations. And so because they're able to cut costs and keep overhead low, they're able to pass that on in the form of higher, you know, more benefits, higher interest rates, no, you know, fees, no, you know, other kind of expenses related to opening the account. The place that I would go, Anna, if you want to start to do some investigation, would be bankrate.com. Bankrate.com. Right there at the top of the page, you will see a button that says high yield savings, and you can start to scroll through the high yield savings accounts, you know, that are offering the very best rates. Bankrate has an independent 5-star rating system, so you can see how they stack up, whether or not they have FDIC insurance, any minimum balance to earn that annual percentage yield, and then any ongoing fees. So I would start there. The second option I would consider, if instead of just looking at the rate, if you also want to be with a banking partner that shares your values, that's where I would check out our friends at Christian Community Credit Union. You can go to joinchristiancommunity.com, joinchristiancommunity.com. What we're finding is more and more believers are wanting a banking partner that shares their values, where they're not taking any of the corporate profits and supporting things that you don't agree with. In the case of CCCU, they're even taking part of the money they earn as a credit union and supporting Christian ministries. It's a wonderful partner of ours. And again, you can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. They have what they call their Harvest High Yield Savings, and it has an exceptional rate of 5% APY for balances up to $5,000. And that would be lower beyond that, but that could be a great option for you. Is that helpful, though?
Oh, yes, sir. It certainly is. Yes.
Awesome.
I'll work on that immediately.
Okay, very good. Again, that website, if you want to check out Christian Community Credit Union, joinchristiancommunity.com. The only requirement is that you are a Christ follower in terms of joining that credit union. Thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open today. We'd love to tackle whatever is on your mind in your financial life. Again, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. This is a good time for me to remind you that all this week you've heard our program host talking about our partnership here at AFR with Preborn. Once again, this year, we are delighted to partner with this amazing organization that has partnered since 2007 with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing ultrasounds. But these ultrasounds are specifically provided to women free of charge who are considering abortion. And by allowing them to see their baby and see the heartbeat, not to mention the fact that they're able to share the love of Christ with them through the truth of the gospel and even additional resources. So your sponsorship with Preborn not only provides these free ultrasounds, but it provides these mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, also diapers and car seats and counseling and a whole lot more. In fact, free of charge, these moms get up to 2 years of assistance through their engagement with Preborn. Just an incredible ministry. And based on the information they have over the past 18 years, these Preborn partner clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion. So that's based on their data, 300,000 babies where their lives have been saved as a result of this ministry through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also 80,000 women. This is incredible. 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Christ that they know about. That's the kind of organization that you're partnering when you get involved with Preborn. So what's the ask for you today? Well, here's what we'd love to do this week here at AFR. We would love to see 4,500 babies saved through your sponsorship. Every $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140, five free ultrasounds, reaching five women. If you could make a leadership gift of $5,000, you could underwrite all of the ultrasounds for all the preborn clinics for one day. That could be as many as 200 babies that are saved. You can learn more at AFR.net. That's AFR.net or 877-616-2396. Back with more after this.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are His hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that His light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the biblical case for cultural engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got lines open here in our final segment. We'd love to get to as many calls as we can. That means your opportunity to call right now. Here's the number, 800-525-7000. You probably have some questions you've been wrestling with in your financial life. We love to hear those questions. It gives us an opportunity to help mine the scriptures, bring you some solid financial advice to make steps forward with confidence, but knowing that you're aligning with God's truth, because we know the ultimate source of truth is found in God's word, and that includes this topic of money. Would you believe that almost a quarter of what Jesus talked about had connections to money? Half the parables. I mean, we see a lot throughout Scripture in the Old and New Testament, some big themes related to money and money management. Why is that? Well, I believe it's not because God needs our money. We've already established, and we do all the time here on this program, it all belongs to Him, right? The cattle on a thousand hills, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, all who dwell therein. Everything belongs to Him and is for His glory and His purposes. And so what does that mean for us? Well, it means that we have to accept our role as manager or steward, what the Bible translates as household manager of the King of Kings resources. Well, that's a really high calling. We want to understand that role and responsibility, realizing that money is a good gift from God. It's one of His good creations entrusted to us for us to provide and enjoy and to use to bring Him glory, and I think to give generously, even to deploy as capital, to bring funding to business, which is also a part of God's plan. For goods and services. It's not any accident. I don't think that we talk about business providing goods and services, things that should be good for human flourishing and for mankind, services, serving one another. Well, the way we supply capital to business, going back to the 14 and 1500, starting with the maritime trade, was through investment. Well, there's a conferred, I think, ethical responsibility there when we're taking the capital God has entrusted to us, putting it to work in business. And how should we think about that? What companies should we be invested in? What companies should we avoid? How should we use our influence with those companies? There's a whole worldview that needs to, as a Christ follower, be applied to every facet of our lives, but that includes our money. Well, we want to help you with that each day on this program. So let's do that together. The number to call, 800-525-7000. To Texas. Hi, Summer. Go ahead.
Yes, so I was just wondering the best way to invest $5,000 for my daughter in the best biblical, you know, way to invest it for her future. Yeah. She's 12, and
I love that. That's a great idea. So when you say, I want to invest for my daughter $5,000, that's great. She's 12. And you said, I want to do it biblically. Tell me what you're thinking there. Are you wanting to make sure the investments align with your biblical values?
Yes, sir. Yes. And just for it to grow and I'm sure, we're going to add to it just what overall would be the best outlook for that.
Yeah, excellent. So the first question is what type of account to put it in before we even get to the investment selection. And the big question there when it comes to kids is, do we want to earmark this money specifically for college or not? And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer there, but that really is the first question, because that will determine which direction we go with the type of account. Have you thought about that?
If it would be in probably for college. I don't know if she is going to try and pursue a sports scholarship for her future or, for college. But sure. I just.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, if you want it for college and there is an opportunity to get the money back on a pro rata basis if she gets scholarship awards and grants. And so you would be able to get it back. Now, if she decided not to go to college because she started a business or, you know, something else, then that money would be in there and, you know, you'd have to pay some tax and a penalty on it to get it out. Or you could systematically roll it over to a Roth IRA for her up to $35,000, and that would happen over multiple years, where she would then have the beginning of a retirement account that could grow for, 40 or 50 years and amount to a lot of money, which would be great. But if you said, no, Rob, I'd rather this money, just kind of be available for any purpose, then I would keep it outside of a college plan. So let's talk about both options. If you want to go the college route, I like the 529 college savings plan. So what I would do is head to a website, savingforcollege.com, and they could help you determine which state's plan would be best for you, because you don't have to use the Texas 529. And the reason you may not want to is there may be another state that has better returns. So it's kind of like a 401k. Each 529 plan has a menu of investment options inside the plan, and some of them, at least historically speaking, have performed better than others. And Saving for College will help you determine which state's plan to use. But again, that money is earmarked for college, and so it grows tax-free as long as you use it for qualified educational expenses. If you decide not to, and there's not scholarships or grants or awards, then you'd either have to pay the tax and a penalty, or you could roll it to a Roth. If you decided you wanted to keep the money just kind of available for any purpose, I'd probably just put it in a brokerage account in your name or you and your husband's name, and earmark it for your daughter. The reason being, if you did a custodial account, it automatically becomes her money at the age of majority. So let's say age 18, if she's not spiritually or financially mature enough to handle it, you may not want her to have the money, but you wouldn't have a choice at that point. So I'd probably keep it in a brokerage account in your name. And then you could use one of the faith-based investing mutual funds like the Timothy Plan or Eventide or One Ascent. Just put that money in, add to it systematically whenever you want, and just let it grow. And then you could decide when to give it to her. But if you do really just kind of come in full circle here, and I'll get your thoughts, if you do think, you know what, we're probably just going to end up using this for college, I like the 529 because it would be able to grow tax-free. And that's a real benefit. But give me your thoughts on all that.
I've been writing it all down, and I do believe that I'm going to get with my husband and let him know the ideas you give me, and
okay.
See what he thinks about that, because that was good. Good
awesome.
Information.
And, excellent. Well, if you guys have questions as you talk it through, Summer, don't hesitate to call back, and I'd be happy to help. Lord bless you. Thanks for calling today. To Virginia. Hi, Ann. How can I help?
Hi, my name, you already know my name. I'm going to try to explain this. My husband and I are retired, and we're in the process of moving monies from a Roth from an IRA into a Roth, and so our CPA has explained that we can put some monies into a charitable gift account to help offset some of the tax that'll be paid. Then they suggest that we can use charitable gift monies to pay our regular tithe. And something inside of me seems gray about that. I feel like we've received a benefit from putting those monies into a charitable gift account, and that tithing needs to be off of new monies. Just wanted to know your thought, if I'm explaining it correctly.
No, I appreciate that. So you've got, if I understand correctly, the money is in the IRA right now, correct?
Correct.
Okay, how much do you have in there?
It's quite a bit.
Okay.
And we're doing it in chunks, different years.
Okay. And you're then going to move it to a Roth, or did you say a charitable gift annuity, or what is it going into from the IRA?
The money's, we're in the process of trying to get the IRA into a Roth, all those monies into a Roth, just to, since we're retired, taking care of that tax, amount.
Okay.
And some of the monies I'm not real sure, I'm the one on the outside listening to them talk, but they're suggesting that we put these monies into a charitable gift, not the Roth or other finances or other monies from somewhere else. And they say, well, if we put these monies in charitable gift, then you can use those to pay your tithe every month or week or whenever we do that. And I just look at them and it just seems like a gray area to me. I feel like we receive a benefit, tax benefit, or we receive something by putting monies from our finances into charitable gift. I feel like the charitable gift monies need to go to other charitable things I feel like the tithe needs to come off of new income.
Got it. Yeah, here's the reality, and I don't understand all the pieces that are moving here, and I want to make sure they're considering what's called a qualified charitable distribution, because if you guys are at least 70 and a half, you can take money out of the IRA and go straight to your church or your charity of choice or ministry and never pay any tax on it. So it doesn't need to be converted to a Roth. But here's the way I look at, I think the heart of your question was, you and your husband before the Lord decide how much you want to give. And then where you pull those assets from and whether or not you're doing it in a tax-advantaged way, I think is just good stewardship. So I wouldn't divide up the buckets. I would just decide how much do we want to give based on the increase we have, the new income, the assets we have, and let's decide on an annual basis. And then as the Lord leads, we can change that, how much we want to give, and then decide from a planning standpoint, okay, how do we want to do it, and how do we do it in a way that's tax-advantaged? That's the way I would approach it, but also ask your advisor about a qualified charitable distribution. Fortunately, I'm out of time, man. Thanks for your call today. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Devin, and Jim. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.